Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artist. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. Mike will not be joining us today. Hey, Joe from the Germany has joined us in the chat room. Welcome, Joe. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Gary Honor's name, and that should bring you right into the chat room. Please give us a call at 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. Saxophonist Gary Honor's Trippin' in Rhythm debut release, Heads and Tails. Tails has been described as a smooth mix of jazz, soul, and ambient with a twist of funk and fusion. It was produced by Gary and Ollie Silk. Gary Honor, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you very much, Terry. It's nice to be joining you this morning. I mean, this afternoon, where you are. 1 o'clock, well, right?
Yes, it's 1 p.m. my time. What is like 6 a.m. your time in Sydney, Australia?
That's right.
Ah,
that is definitely right.
Yes, Gary is joining us from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. Have you had anyone call in from there before?
I don't think we have. I don't think
well,
so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
breaking records. Breaking records on Talking Smooth Jazz.
Yes, yes. And on top of that, poor Gary, he did a gig last night, and he's only had a couple of hours of sleep. He had to set the alarm to call in for the interview. So, again, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I'm really, really happy to be here this afternoon. It's great.
All right. Well, let's start with your signing to Trippin' in Rhythm. How did that happen?
Well, a few years ago, I was living in the UK, actually, over in London. I was born over in over there, mm-hmm. and decided to go back after I spent some time working around the Sydney scene, just to get a bit more exposure. And that's where I met Ollie, and from there started working with him and doing some shows over in Los Angeles and San Diego and various other places as well. And I suppose the A&R guys, Jeff Lant and also the CEO, Les Cutmore, from Trippin' in Rhythm, saw me playing and asked me to do some shows for them as well, and I did that, and I met also Cindy Bradley, the trumpet player, and did some shows with her, and it was basically through that sort of that connection, I started working for them, and I took every opportunity that sort of came my way, and they eventually just said, "Hey, listen, do you want to do your own thing?" And I was like, "Absolutely. Where do I start?" And so they invited me to play at Dubai. They've been hosting a slot. The label has in Dubai for quite some time, and they got me to do a showcase before I was signed. And after that, they basically said, would you like this contract? And I was like, absolutely, let's go. And so we got started right away, me and Ollie, and that's how the album sort of came about. I'd already recorded on a few of his projects, and it was always fun working with Ollie, and so he was definitely the guy that I wanted to work with as well. And Ollie had been pushing for it for some time as well. So, yeah, there you go. That's kind of how it started off.
Now, was that your first time in Dubai and playing there?
It was actually, yeah. I'd been to like the Middle East and for different things previously, but that was the first time I'd played at the Dubai Festival, which is actually a really great festival that they have in, I think it's called Media City over there. And, yeah, every night there's like 10 nights of jazz. It's fantastic. So, yeah, it was really, it was a little bit nerve-wracking at first because I knew these guys were looking at me and going and, you know, making decisions. So, but at the end of the day, I was just going to play and just have fun regardless of whatever. And so, it turned out to be loads of fun. And I ended up playing with not only my own show, I played on Ollie's show, Cindy Bradley's show, and Jared also invited me out to sit in on his show as well. So, you know, it was a big party, really.
You know? Wow. Yeah. And, you know, one of the perks of being on Trippin' and Rhythm's label is they take their entire roster to Dubai every year to perform. All of the
artists
get to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them have been lucky to go back twice, which is, you know, fantastic as well. So, you know, maybe down the track I might get a chance to go back again. But, you know, it's, yeah, they've had a working relationship with the organisers of the Dubai Festival for quite some time. And I think part of the reason they wanted to do something like this is they want to take smooth jazz more internationally and get it out there into a wider audience rather than being just, you know, within the North America sort of thing. They definitely see it as potential, you know, in the Middle East and through Asia and that sort of thing. So they've been taking these opportunities when they come up, and I think it's doing really well, and I think it's a great idea to do, you know, especially myself, someone who's in Australia, and smooth jazz is popular, but probably not as popular as North America. So yeah, so it's definitely great.
Okay. Now, you met with Ollie during that time, and you guys started working on this CD, Heads and Tails, in 2007?
Well, what happened was I met him in 2007, and, you know, soon after we'd been doing a few gigs around the place, and I had been over to Los Angeles once with him already for the jazz tracks. We came back and we were like, Ollie's like, oh, I want to, because Ollie's just prolific. He likes to keep writing all the time, you know. And at the time, I think he was working on a record for Jared. But on the side, he was like, why don't we just start writing some things? And then if something comes up, then, you know, we're already halfway down the road. So I took the opportunity because, you know, to work with Ollie is a fantastic thing to do anyway. And so I would just go around to his house and we'd sit down and sort of like shell some ideas out and see what we can come up with and that sort of thing. And we had all these little ideas that we kind of started, and that was way back in 2007, 2008. Then I came back to Australia in 2008 and it kind of was put on the shelf for a little while. And yeah, and so, you know, musicians or composers tend to have ideas that you know, we come up with a basic idea and then it might not actually eventuate, you know, until much further down the track. So you sort of, you have this little book of ideas that you can sort of like draw on. You try and write them all down so you don't forget the good ones, and then, you know, pull them out. It's sort of like, you don't just sort of like sit there and go, okay, let's see if sort of that creative streak hits us, inspiration hits us right now and create something from scratch. Sometimes it does, but not always. And you know, so yeah, so that's pretty cool. So like two or three of the songs, you know, we had taken from as far back as that. Yeah, definitely. So, but most of it happened pretty much through last year, you know, the remainder of the tracks and things like that. And actually, the single was the very last thing that we thought of, so it was the last addition to the whole album. Yeah.
Okay. Now, at one point there, though, you had to stop playing for a while. Would you mind sharing that story?
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying just before, that I had to sort of like take a break because I had a, unfortunately, soon after I arrived back in Australia, I was really unlucky. I got a shingles infection in my ear that affected my inner ear and my sense of balance, sense of hearing, and actually paralyzed the right side of my face with what's called Bell's palsy.
Mm-hmm.
For pretty much close to a year, I lost movement in my face. It was quite nasty. That was pretty much through 2008 into 2009 that happened, and it was a very long process to learn how to play saxophone again and flute, and you know, I nearly gave up. It was that bad, you know. But I think when the music's in you, you actually try and find a way to be able to do it. It's sort of like you can't not let that creativity happen. It's, you know, I was so determined to, if there was any possible way for me to continue playing in any sort of form, then I was going to give it a go. You know, I didn't know whether or not I could continue being a professional, but you know, to some level, it's sort of like once you've, like, I'd already been a musician for 20 years of my life, and I hadn't known life without music, so I was really determined to get back to playing. And you know, I even like made some sort of neoprene strapping that I would, you know, wrap around my head to hold the pressure of my cheek in, so I could actually blow and get an embouchure and blow through my saxophone. It was a very weird look, but it was part of the rehabilitation process for me to be able to continue playing again and that sort of thing. And you know, I count my blessings now, honestly.
Yeah.
It's
that
I can actually do this again, and I've pretty much close to 100% recovered from it, which wasn't the prognosis from the doctors. The doctors were like, you might not be able to get any movement back. You might get some. It was sort of like a bit 50-50. You know, it was a very scary, you know, prognosis. And I was like, no, I'm not accepting that. I'm not going to take that. I'm gonna see what I can do out of this. And, you know, I tried a whole bunch of things from, you know, right through from acupuncture to massage therapy and all sorts of things to try and get the muscles going again. So, and I think it worked. So, yeah, very, very lucky, very, very thankful and blessed. And, I can't believe, you know, from when that happened to now, you know, how much has happened for me
mm-hmm.
in the music
mm-hmm.
game. It's just like, what? You know what I mean? So yeah, so that's what happened, you know. And Ollie had no idea actually at the time when it happened. I kind of called him, you know, sheepishly one day in 2008, you know, and he was actually calling me because I hadn't spoken to him for about a month, and he said, "Listen, I'm recording the single for my next album. I need to play some tenor sax on it." And I'm like, oh, should I tell him? You know, and he sent over the song. Said, see what you can do. Like I said, oh man, I don't know if I can play too well. And this is probably only about 8 months into the recovery. You know, because I kind of just didn't want people to know about it. And I, you know, here I am, you know, strapping up my face so I can play this track. And it was the hardest session I've ever done, but I finally got it together. And you know, and that ended up being Chiller Be Chilled, which was one of Ollie's most successful singles. So
see,
you know, it's like it's really, really surprising, you know, if you you know, you, no one would know. Well, they do now, I suppose. Now I'm telling
yeah.
you, but no one would know, you know, to what extent it took just to get that recording together. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. I'm glad that you didn't give up. Heads and Tails, it sounds really good. And I just wanted to let you know that Joe from Germany, he's in the chat room. He says, I'm glad he didn't give up. We would have missed great music. And I agree.
Oh.
I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Joe.
Right. Yeah, Joe. So now, who So you and Ollie produced the CD. Ollie wrote a lot of the music. Who else is on the CD with you?
Okay, so we got a very international cast on this album. We've got Orifo Arakwe and Andrew Small playing bass and drums, respectively. Fabulous musicians and good friends of Ollie's that were happy to come in and play. We got Brianna Cowlishaw, who lives in New York now, but she's an Aussie girl. She's a singer, and she's more of a straight-ahead singer, but she came and sang on it. Troy Anthony Smith also sings on Close to You, does some of the low harmony stuff. We've got Neil Yule. We've got three guitarists, Neil Yule, Matt Park, and also Mark James. Mark James and Matt Park are both UK-based, but Neil's from Sydney as well. He's kind of like my right-hand man here. He owns the studio that I did all my saxophone sessions in. And we've got Craig Mitten playing trumpet, who's also from here. And then we've got Gary Big G Stanionis from Los Angeles playing percussion.
Yes. Yes.
Gary's a good friend of mine from way, way back. We met through Jack Keem Joyner. We were playing on Jack Keem's show back in 2007. I met Jack Keem a long time ago, and we've been great buddies for forever, it feels like now. So, and Gary was just like, he has the biggest personality, and he's a fantastic musician, and everyone knows it now, I think. He seems to be working with absolutely everyone in the business. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm forgetting anyone. Obviously, Ollie Silk playing keyboards, and, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's about it. So,
All right. That's the cast.
I actually like, you know, I tried to, for the most part, tried to get a lot of guys that were new to the scene, you know, involved and that sort of thing, rather than having the usual suspects on the album the whole time, you know. So, you know, I would want to try and introduce the audience to some new faces and new names and that sort of thing. So,
We appreciate that because, you know, I read a comment where you said that you didn't want the CD to be all saxophone because even saxophonists can get tired of hearing that. So,
yeah, well, I think that's true, don't you? Like,
yeah.
I've heard some albums and individual tracks are great, but if you listen to the whole album, it can get very tiring on the ear to hear, you know, 8 or 9 tracks of alto saxophone solos.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like Mark James especially, like he brought some really beautiful guitar work into the album and plays quite a lot of solos and that sort of thing. To be honest, I would have liked to hear a bit more of Ollie Silk improvising on the album, but he kind of wanted to take a little bit of the backstage on this one, you know, because he, you know, you can hear him all through it with his production work and everything. So, you know, he left it to Mark, and you know, Mark would play some solos, and I said, why don't you play a solo on this one? He goes, but listen to Mark's solo, man. I don't want to take that off the record. So. So I'm like, yeah, fair enough. So well, it's something for next time then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to some music from the CD. The CD is called Heads and Tails. This is Gary Honor's debut project on the Trippin' and Rhythm label. And I'm going to start with Southern Exposure. Tell me about this one.
Okay. Well, Southern Exposure is one of two flute tracks on the record. I definitely wanted to play some flute on the CD because, you know, once again, didn't want it to be all saxophone, and flute has been a passion for, you know, since I was in high school as well. And Southern Exposure was actually one of the early ones that we sort of came up. I think it was the first song that Ollie and I wrote together. And the original idea is a little bit removed from what it ended up. What you hear on the record, and I, you know, from the word go, we were really happy with this one. So this is Southern Exposure, nice smooth flute track.
All right, here we go with Southern Exposure. Very nice. That was Southern Exposure from Gary Honor's new CD, Heads and Tails, on the debut on the Trippin' Rhythm label, which he recently signed to. Now, this is a debut for you on Trippin' Rhythm, but you also have two other CDs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did two self-produced independent releases. The first one going as far back as 2004, 2005. Beginning of 2005 I released it. And then one about two or three years ago, once I'd sort of like started getting some of my strength back in my face and that sort of thing to be able to play, I was writing and decided just to record some of the demos that I was doing. So yeah, so that's the other one called The Establishment. The first one's called Atmospheric.
Okay, and these are available for purchase?
Yeah, they are. Only through my website though, which is GaryHonor.com.
Okay.
I haven't really got them out there like on any sort of distribution at this point.
Okay.
I sort of left that aside because I knew that things were going to be happening with Trippin' Rhythm.
All right. I have a couple of reviews on Heads and Tails. I'm going to start with criticaljazz.com. And it says, Gary Honor, along with producer-arranger Ollie Silk and the Trippin' and Rhythm label, are reinventing the sound of jazz that walks on the smoother side of the street. Honor's debut release on the Trippin' and Rhythm label is perhaps one of their finest releases to date. One key reason to the success of the label is the creative freedom they allow their roster of talent, and Heads and Tails is no exception. So did you find that you had complete freedom to produce this CD?
Oh, actually, yes. Everything was pretty much finished before any of the guys at Trippin' heard it. So we basically delivered them an entire CD and kept our fingers crossed that they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably that they would come back to us with some comments and that sort of thing. So they really did. I think I, in a sense, were trusting Ollie's instincts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because he has already got the runs on the board, so to speak. I'm using an Australian figure of speech there, cricket terminology. But it's very much the way we wanted it to be musically speaking. So and they look after everything else. It's been fabulous in that sense. I feel like we've been able to take it in any direction we wanted. So that was really great. So.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Now, the next song I'm going to play is Close to You, but I have the instrumental version of this song, and I thought it was going to be on the CD. So why was that not put on the CD?
Well, it actually came sort of a bit later. Like, the CD was finished.
Uh-huh.
It was getting pressed and ready to ship, and then we go, okay, which one are we going to leave with a single? And
mm-hmm.
and Jeff said, well, let's be Close to You. It's a nice tune to place you as a debut artist, because people should know the melody. They should know Maxi Priest's original,
mm-hmm.
For the most part, I suppose, if you're over 22 years old, because that's how old the single is now. And so they said, oh, hang on a second, the song's a bit long on the album, we've got the extended solo on the end and all that, how about we make a version for radio as well? And that's when we decided to make it an instrumental version, and that's why it's not on the actual album as well. So, yeah, it might have to be something that I make available through the website, either as a download or something like that. You've certainly given me food for thought there about how to get that particular version out there as well.
Oh, well, I hope so, because it's really nice. It's a really nice instrumental version of Close to You, and I'm going to close the show with it later on. But also, CriticalJazz.com says, this tune holds up well over 21 years with the cover outshining the original, a rare jazz feat of artistry.
Yeah, that's very nice of Brent Black to say that, too. You know, well, for me, I heard the song, the way that song came about was we were actually working on another song, and I just got one of those sort of mental blocks that I just couldn't think of melodically something to write, and so I just went for a run. I usually find that's the best way for me to write, is that if I go for a run, I'll have the song running around in my head, you know. And often inspiration strikes, and I was trying to work on this melody, and nothing was coming, and I was just humming sort of like just one little phrase, da-da-da, and I went, hang on a second, and suddenly the Close to You main hook just, you know, hit me, and I started humming that, and next thing you know, I was like going, hang on a second, this song could be a really great cover. I don't think I've heard anyone really cover it before. It's a song that I feel is old enough to, you know, be reintroduced to the audience, and also something that would lend itself well to the smooth jazz treatment. And I just knew Ollie would be, Ollie would agree with me on that. And so, you know, we went back, listened to the original, and went, yeah, I think we can do something with this, and we can certainly make the production a little more contemporary than the original, being 20 odd years old. So yeah, so that's what happened, you know. Close to You came about like that, you know. We ended up dropping the other song, so Close to You ended up on the album, and I'm really happy because, you know, it's definitely one of my favorite things, and I'm a big reggae fan as well. I love playing reggae. I've done some stuff with UB40 before, and I was really happy to bring that sort of vibe and that element into the music, even though this particular track isn't, you know, that sort of reggae sort of thing. Maxi Priest certainly has embodied the reggae sound over the years.
Yeah, right. And I love your sax playing on this as well. I guess that's why I like the instrumental version as well, because I love the way you're playing on it.
We definitely wanted to give it the jazz flavor, and without going too far over the top with it, I was definitely hearing the tenor on this one, so that's how that ended up.
All right.
The tenor.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking to saxophonist Gary Honor. His new CD is called Heads and Tails. It is available now on Amazon. If you'd like to call in and speak with Gary, the number is 646-716-5485. This is Close to You.
Was a Jezebel, this Brixton queen, living her life like a bad sweet dream, telling me lies when the truth was clear. I think she knew what I wanted to hear. Spinning around like a wheel on fire, I walk on the tightrope on love's highway. A fatal attraction is where I'm at. There's no escape for me. I can't explain. You never know if you're in frame. I tie me up with elastic words. I'm on a countdown till I get hurt. The blood was hot, she burned so bright. A neon sign there in the night. It's hard to say if I went too far. My heart still bears a scar.
Jackson, and this is from the smoothjazzride.com. Ronald says, there's funk and magic going on here in between the notes, deep down in the vibe. Inexplicable stuff. The clarity and passion of Honor Sax and the way they keep time with that soaring energy of each track are pretty powerful. Another refreshingly new listen that further solidifies my belief that the genre will be in good hands for years to come.
Yeah, I like his way with words. That sounds really cool.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. For the listeners, you can read both these reviews in their entirety at thesmoothjazzride.com and criticaljazz.com. You can read the full reviews there. Very nice reviews on the CD. Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about...
Very thankful to both those guys.
yes, definitely. Let's talk about your idol, Warren Hill, and how you met him.
Oh, wow, yeah, Warren Hill. I got introduced to Warren Hill through a teacher of mine, like, back in the late 90s. And it would have been 1998, somewhere around there, you know. And Warren's, like, his sound and his playing, you know, inspired me a lot. And then in about 2003, I heard he was hosting a jazz cruise. And while I couldn't afford to go over to the States at that point, because I was still in the Navy, I was doing some service time, and I did make a plan to get on the cruise in 2005, which is what happened, and I finally got the chance to meet Warren Hill. But not only Warren Hill, there were plenty of other artists on the trip as well. There was Huge Groove, Dave Koz, Wayman Tisdale, Kim Waters, Kirk Whalum, Peter White, Jonathan Butler, Jeff Golove, Norman Brown.
Wow, you remember everybody.
Yeah, they were all on it. Paul Brown was on it. I think Mark Antoine was meant to be on it, but he had to pull out at the last moment, and they put Paul Brown on it. This is probably just prior to him releasing his first solo album, you know, so I wasn't very aware of who he was, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the thing was, the beauty of it was that I got to meet all these guys, but, you know, the main reason I was there, I wanted to meet Warren Hill. You know, he inspires me in a big way, and we, you know, I've actually been friends with him ever since. You know, I went back on the cruise in 2007, but he wasn't hosting it at that time. He was still on it, but Wayman Tisdale was hosting it by then. And that was fabulous, you know. So yeah, so that's how that came about. I met Warren Hill, you know, that was really fun. So. Yeah.
Now, this cruise also had a competition that you entered.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know if they do this on all the cruises these days, but certainly if you're a musician, they want to encourage everyone to get up and have a play. So I took my saxophone. I had it with me while I was over in the States. Mm-hmm. And excuse me here, I just need to clear my throat.
No problem.
Anyway, so they had a Star Search competition on the cruise, and all the musicians, you know, you'd be surprised, there were a lot of musicians on board, and I got up and sat in. Warren's band was the backing band, so that alone encouraged me to get up, because, like, to play with those guys was amazing. It was Randy Jacobs was hosting it. From the guitar, and they had, like, Ron Reinhardt and, oh gosh, I can't remember everyone who was in the band at the time. Dave Hooper was playing drums. Can't recall a bass player at this point. Anyway, yeah, so, but it was absolutely fabulous to get up and play, and it turned out that I won the competition, so... It was great. The audience was really receptive. I was this little Aussie kid from Australia. So, you know, and you know, even in the on the forums on Facebook prior to this show, some people going, "Yeah, I remember you from way back on Warren's cruise," and I'm like, "Oh wow, yeah." So,
yes, I
know.
I saw that. That was cool. That was cool. And hopefully, maybe she's one of the guests in the chat room listening now. Or maybe she's listening outside of the chat room. So that's great. Well, congratulations to you for winning that. That was so cool.
Yeah, no, that was really fun. Really fun. Oh, I remember the bass player, Andre Berry. You know, he's fabulous. Yeah.
Yes.
I for some reason I had someone else pictured in my mind, but I've seen Warren play on a number of times with different bass players, and I'm like thinking, I'm pretty sure it wasn't him, you know. And I just remembered it was Andre Berry, who's, I think he's in Dave Koz's band or Mindy Abair or something these days. I'm not sure.
He's everywhere. Definitely. All right. Okay, so now I got a request from the chat room from Joe. He wants me to play Close to You again. So I will close the show with it, Joe. But I also have the instrumental version of it that I would like to play. So, Joe, I'm going to let you make the decision whether you want to hear the vocal version again or the instrumental version. But the next song excuse me, the next song I'm going to play is, let's see, what do I want to play? Leave Tomorrow Behind. Tell me about this one.
Oh, this is one of the ballads on the record. One of the this song, Ollie gave me like this basic chord progression, and we weren't actually going to use this for anything in particular. And then I was just feeling in this. I was actually in a bit of a down mood because the story goes that sometimes. You know what's coming down the road, and that you're gonna sort of things aren't gonna always be good. So don't think about that, because you know at least this moment's really nice, and you've got this moment, so enjoy it while it lasts, sort of thing. And that's what it's kind of the title's referring to. It's like, don't think about tomorrow, enjoy the moment while you're in it. And it was just sort of like, you know, just very reflective and that sort of thing, but, you know, about being close and yeah, that sort of thing. So it's definitely laden with emotion. So that's what I was trying to go with it. And, you know, and then at the end it takes it up just up a notch a little bit as we change key. And, yeah, it was a very, very fun track to write. And the melody came to me quite naturally, actually. So
okay.
It just, you know, I just turned the lights down and started playing, and that's what came out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. From Gary Honor's Heads and Tails CD, this is Leave Tomorrow Behind.
Thank you.
That was Leave Tomorrow Behind from Gary Honor's Heads and Tails CD. You can find that now on his website, GaryHonor.com. Follow him on Twitter at Gary Honor, and the CD is also available on Amazon. So definitely pick it up, support the artist, and pick this music up. So now, Gary, when are you back in the States? Do you have any plans on that?
Hopefully soon. No official things lined up as yet, but Ollie and I like to work together, and I'm sort of talking with him and finding out when he's going to be over there so that we sort of can, you know, tie it in together. I'm definitely going to be in the UK in October. We're going to be performing over there in London at the Pizza Express, which is where a lot of the smooth jazz artists perform. Mm-hmm. So that's happening. Maybe on the way back from that, I might stop in California if I get enough requests, and hopefully we can organize something around that time. But if not, then it'll be very early in 2013 that we'll be over for sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I really appreciate you getting up so early in the morning there in Sydney to do this interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure indeed. Anytime.
All right. So definitely. Oh, let me ask you about the saxophone on the cover, this black and white checkered saxophone.
All right.
I like that.
Actually, this is actually sort of part of my little visual artistic thing. You know, I am, if you see on the cover, I'm wearing a checkered cap as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've had that cap for quite some time, and it was actually, I was talking with Peter White, and he saw me wearing that cap on the cruise, and he's like going, you should stick with that because it's kind of memorable. People are going to recognize it and remember it. And he goes, it's always good to have things like that that people are going to, he goes, not that you probably need it because you're so tall anyway, like you're 6'6", and I was like, oh yeah, okay. And but I, you know, I like things that are a little bit different, and I like to sort of like, you know, make my mark with that sort of with the visual thing. So I actually got this saxophone. It was a standard saxophone and spray painted it, and then, you know, hand painted the black checkers on it and all the rest of it. So that's kind of what happened. I built it as a, what I would call a stunt saxophone. I actually do play it a lot live, and I've actually since then added like LED lights into it and all sorts of things. There's like a video on my YouTube channel. You can have a good look at what I've done with it. It was really fun. You know, it was just something fun, and everyone's like, wow. You know, with all these colored lights inside and all the rest of it. So we, you know, I just like to have fun. I do a lot of sketching and that sort of thing, the artistic thing that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do portraits and things like that. So I just wanted to let that out a bit in my, you know, on the musical side of things. So, yeah. So you can actually check out some of my visual arts as well on my Facebook page. There's like an album of some of my visual work as well.
All right. Well, check again. His website is GaryHonor.com, and check that out. All right. Thank you again, Gary, so much. And I will be featuring
your
CD.
Thank you very
much, Gary. I will be featuring your CD on my Jazz Queen show on the 8th, on the Friday, June 8th.
Okay. That sounds fabulous. I'll definitely tune in and have a listen. And thanks to everyone who's listening in and everyone who's been commenting on the forum and on Facebook. Some people have been messaging me on Facebook as well. G'day, everyone there. So, yeah,
all right,
this is fabulous. So it's really nice to connect with you, Terry, and everyone out there. So thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Now you get some sleep.
I'm wide awake now.
Okay.
Might go for a run.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and you have a great day.
I will, and you too.
All right.
Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was saxophonist Gary Honor. His new CD is called Heads and Tails. You can find that on Amazon, his website, GaryHonor.com, and follow him on Twitter at Gary Honor. All right, I'm going to close the show with the instrumental version of Close to You. Join me tomorrow. I will be talking to Curtis Brooks. He's a 16-year-old saxophonist, and about his music and his career. So join us for that. That is tomorrow, June 3rd. Thank you for joining me here on the Jazz Queen Show. On Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, and I look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. This is the instrumental version of Close to You.
Visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.